Since June, we've received over 300 white papers from industry, academia, international, and we've done the review of those papers, and we've now encouraged proposals. So we'll be receiving within the next month over 70 proposals, and then we'll review those proposals, and our intent is that by the end of the first quarter of 2015, we will award somewhere between 25 and 30 new R&D contracts.
Are you able to talk a little bit about where of those 300 white papers, of those 70 proposals that you're hoping to receive, how do they break down?
Our largest group of white papers came in the cyber-physical systems area. This is really an up-and-coming topic. If you think about automotive, you know, your car is nothing more than a computer on wheels. If you think about medical devices, computers, airlines, you know, critical infrastructure. So that was our largest one. And then we went down from there, but pretty even across the other three topics of data privacy, DDoS, and mobile. We did receive 18 white papers from international organizations, which we can do, but it's you know, that's about as much as we can say.
It's interesting that cyber-physical area is the one of the biggest areas that you saw in terms of proposals. You mentioned the automobile concerns, or at least the growing concerns around cyber and cyber resiliency and cyber defense of automobiles. You don't really think of it, but so much of your car is electronic, and so much more is moving into that, I hate the term, but Internet of Things. What are you guys doing in terms of current research that you can talk about to look at cyber-physical as it relates to cars, or at least car components?
We are looking at it on two fronts. One is on the forensics front, to be able to analyze the data that's in a car if needed for forensics purposes. But the other side is we are working with automotive manufacturers in developing standards that they can require of their third-party vendors so that we can make cars more secure from the standpoint of remote access. So there have been numerous demonstrations over the last couple of years where people have demonstrated an ability to remotely control the brakes, the gas pedal, et cetera, from outside the car. And the concern is people that might want to do bad things could use that technology. And so we're trying to work with the auto manufacturers to create the capabilities and the standards to defend against those types of attacks.
Are you getting a lot of collaboration, cooperation from that group of manufacturers? Because sometimes it takes a while for people to come around to say, oh, maybe we need to take this more seriously. And sometimes when you're on the R&D side, you're on the bleeding edge, people go, yeah, but that's 5 or 10 or 20 or 30 years away. That's never going to happen, until obviously it does.
And that's essentially what did happen is several years ago, they didn't believe what was happening. We took a few of the researchers to Detroit, gave them some real-world demonstrations, and very quickly their tune has changed, and they're now on board and working very closely with us and realize that they need to take the necessary steps to create more secure components within their automobiles.
You also mentioned medical devices. I know the FDA recently put out a proposed rule or some kind of notice of proposed rulemaking around security, cybersecurity, medical devices. Is that another area you guys are already down that path? Are you working, for instance, with the FDA or other parts of government, HHS more broadly?
Yes, we are. They're not a big R&D organization as it applies to cybersecurity, and that's our role. We've initiated a partnership with them, and we anticipate funding research jointly in trying to address some of those problems. And they do have serious concerns as well, in that a lot of the vendors in that space haven't really thought about this problem. And it's time to tackle it is now.
You mentioned the partnership with HHS and FDA regarding cybersecurity medical devices. Is this a fairly new partnership, something that maybe you guys just signed in the last month or two? And then what's it mean for the long term? Are you guys going to, when you say work with them on funding research jointly, what does that mean from S&T's perspective?
It is a new initiative, just begun over the last month or two. We have a lot of partnerships where we involve private sector and critical infrastructure. My anticipation is that we'll develop an R&D agenda, and this gives them an opportunity to bring their vendor community into the discussion. Part of the workshop is, in fact, kind of a first step to educate the healthcare and medical sector, and particularly the device manufacturers, about the current vulnerabilities and the needs that the sector has for building more secure systems.
Let's move on to some of the other broad areas you guys have been working on for quite some time. The most recent BAA we talked a little bit about, but you guys have put out these BAAs every few years. let's discuss some other focus area where you're investing in around cyber, maybe some of the two or three things that really are standing out to you.
Probably our growing program is the area of cybercrime and creating technologies to support the law enforcement community in their mission to defeat cybercrime. So the forensics, you know, the criminals often have the latest and greatest technology. We're trying to work with our law enforcement partners here at DHS as well as state and locals to help create the technologies that they can use in that fight against crime. Another one that's really significant is one that I mentioned on our BAA, the mobile device space. So especially from the government side, we're concerned about government employees and the use of mobile devices and making sure we're using them securely. Everybody knows that some of the applications that we download, many of them have vulnerabilities. And so we want to try to make sure that the devices that government employees are using are as secure as can be. I think a third area that's key for us is the ongoing area of education. And while it might not be technical, we are spending a lot of energy in things like competitions and camps. And I think that's critical as we think about the next generation of students. They're going to be in the workplace in the not too distant future. They're much more technically savvy. They've grown up with the technology, but oftentimes are not educated to the vulnerabilities or the security concerns. And so we are spending a fair amount of energy in partnership with a number of agencies in looking at the education initiatives.
So you mentioned cybercrime, and I think you're going to have to put it to rest now. We're going to have to talk about this. I'm sorry I have to bring it up, but everyone watches these TV shows that have the latest and greatest technology. What are you really looking at when you come to cybercrime?
It's about being able to get information off of devices. Criminals use devices. They're using the latest and greatest technology, and our law enforcement partners need to have the tools to be able to pull that data, be able to do the analysis. So the data analytics is key. These devices nowadays have gigabytes and terabytes of data on them. And so how do I find those pieces of information on the device that's key? There's still plenty of effort as well needed in networking technologies. The criminals are using things like Tor and other underground networks, and our law enforcement partners need to be able to get access into those networks and to be able to extract information and be able to analyze that information as well. So it is not as much ultraviolet scanning as you see on CSI, but there are still plenty of technologies needed to help them in their mission.
The BAA we talked about earlier part of the show is one of several you guys put out every few years. You guys put out one in 2012, and let's talk about what came from that effort.
We've got a couple of things that have come out. One is a product that came out of the University of Illinois, and it's spun out into a startup company that looks at an ability to measure in control systems the compliance of control systems as it applies to the NERC SIP standards. So this is helping the electric sector and other sectors that are required to adhere to these standards. It's a tool that can be used by both operations people at a company, but also by an auditor from the government who could go into this network and very quickly determine whether or not the company was complying with some of these standards. There's another really interesting technology coming out of Columbia University. They've also spun off a startup company there, and it's looking at embedded devices. So things like the vulnerabilities in your printer and in your phone, how the criminals are accessing those devices, using them for bad purposes. And this is a technology that can be inserted into those embedded devices to better secure them from attack and vulnerability. So think about the number of printers that there are. You know, we've seen stories about how people can use connect their toaster to the internet or their refrigerator to the internet. Well, your printer is already connected. And if a bad guy can get into the printer, there's plenty of memory, plenty of processing. They can use that as one of their devices. This technology will help eliminate that threat.
I was actually going to just bring up the idea of getting through the printer and then getting into the network that way, finding a back door. You seem to almost insinuate you can almost use the printer as almost a botnet of sorts.
It's got enough processing power. It could be used in bad ways. And so the goal of this technology is working with the manufacturers of these devices so that they create essentially all devices look different. So if I'm a bad guy, if I do get into one printer, that method will not work in another printer because every printer is almost like a random difference from every other printer. So it's really interesting technology. The university and the small company have been talking with some of the larger manufacturers about getting this capability into their future generations of products. And it's not just printers, phones. Anything that's connected to the network can be vulnerable. This technology can be used.
Other examples that you have from that BA in 2012?
Sure. I think there's some really interesting technology in the software analysis area that's coming out of a small business in New York. And this technology will be inserted into our software assurance marketplace as part of that infrastructure. But again, it's always great to see a small business be successful and get their technology out and into the marketplace.